Blog Talk Radio.
The show did not go live.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
go, my fellow Americans,
United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can
this
do for
this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
So sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
Welcome to Missouri Grassroots Radio. This is the Friday evening roundtable, and we are joined by Dave Court of Missouri Grassroots Coalition. And
hi,
Dave. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How's the weather in Springfield?
Oh, it's hot.
Well, that's good. How are the tomatoes growing? Are they growing?
They're growing good. I got a tomato about 4 inches around now. It's not quite turning red yet, though. Who else we got here? I see some other people in the studio here.
Well, we have three guests with us tonight who graciously joined us. Gretchen Loeb was with me on Wednesday night on the Culture Vigilante Hour. Gretchen is the author of Missouri Education Watchdog, the country's best educational blogger. Hi, Gretchen. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Thanks for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. We're glad to have you, and I hope that you'll chime right in and don't hold back.
Excellent. Thanks for having me.
Like, I never know you to hold back anyway. I'm sure we'll have a lively discussion about education. And we have Cindy McGee of Show Me Patriots. Show Me Patriots is a patriot organization in Franklin County, and Cindy has been the leader of that organization for the last several years. Hi, Cindy. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for joining us. You joined us at the last minute kind of today, and I really appreciate you jumping on board. Cindy is another one that I have never known to hold back, and I think she's the perfect person for this roundtable. I'm sure you'll have a lot to contribute tonight, right, Cindy?
I'm sure I will.
And have you been watching the legislative session, Cindy, this year?
Yes, off and on.
Okay. And at the very, very last minute, because Von Karaker had a previous engagement, we have Caroline Mueller. And Caroline.
Actually, it's Miller.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Everybody pronounces it wrong. That's okay.
I have been saying Mueller for years, and this is the first time you've ever corrected me.
Well, this is a good time.
Okay.
live in front of a million
people.
Yeah, live
on the radio. Yeah.
Caroline Miller is with us tonight. She jumped on at the very last minute. Von Karaker had a previous engagement and couldn't join us. And Caroline, I've known Caroline for the last several years. Caroline is a St. Louis Tea Party activist, very active in watching legislation. And I credit Caroline for flagging some of the bad issues that have come up in the legislative sessions in the last couple of years and alerting the Patriots and creating a huge movement to defeat things such as the China Hub and MamTech. So, this evening, we are here to celebrate.
Wait a minute, it wasn't MamTech, it was MoSIRA.
MoSIRA, that's right.
But actually, that did pass.
Well, yes, it did.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that a little bit tonight.
Okay.
But contingent on the passage of the China Hub bill, so that might be still floating around out there, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, my fear is that we might be headed for another special session.
Well, you know, that's my fear, too. And we kind of talked about that earlier in the week and a little bit last week, because we were all fearful that the budget wouldn't pass, and they kind of passed it at the 11th hour and got it in.
Right.
Not too many of us really know exactly what's in the budget, but at least if we go to special sessions, they're going to have to make up another reason. It's not going to be over the budget.
Right. Well, they had to pass it so we could find out what's in it.
That would be a tactic we're all very familiar with.
Yeah.
That's right. Great thing. Well, let's kind of jump off right at the beginning. There was a little legislation floating around this year, and obviously it didn't pass. Imagine that. Some legislation proposed on shortening the sessions from 16 weeks to 12 weeks.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Well, there you go. That's kind of the words right out of my mouth. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Out of all the legislation, the ridiculous legislation that went through the House and the Senate this year, the legislation that grew government, that took freedoms away, you know, they couldn't manage to get this piece of legislation passed. So anybody got any thoughts on that? With the Republican House?
I personally, Lisa, would like to see, this is Cindy, I would like to see us go to a Texas-style legislation where our legislators only meet every other year because, honestly, I start holding my breath in January and I don't exhale until today.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. And I too, like Caroline Miller, am afraid that we're going to go into a special session this year. I think they're going to find some reason or some very large money contributor, like last year, is going to have some pet project that's going to want to be pumped through. And, you know, it doesn't matter how much they shorten the session. It just matters that they're going to, you know, create special sessions, and we'll just special session our to that.
Well, and the really difficult thing about the special sessions is that you no longer have people that are really paying attention. You have the special interest groups that are trying to push legislation through, and you have legislators there to push that legislation through for the special interest. And it's a lot harder during those sessions to get patriots motivated, although last year, and Caroline really did play a huge role in this, in stopping the China Hub and consequently Mosbyra, because when China Hub did not pass, Mosbyra failed. But it did pass. And, you know, it's just it's like a free-for-all session.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to stop that in this state. This special session stuff really, it's just a chance for everybody to push through what they couldn't get through in the regular session because there was too much resistance.
Well, I think last year was very significant in the way that the Patriot movements kind of pushed back. I think last year and maybe even the year before, like no other year before then, the legislature has not been used to being watched as closely as they have been watched.
Uh-huh.
And I think last year's special session was a real eye-opener for them. You know, it kind of really, it really brought them to their knees when, you know, they couldn't just go into special session and sneak some things through like they're used to doing. So I'm hoping that we can keep that momentum going and maintain that kind of momentum.
And you know, Lisa, I'd like to throw in here that is something that is so important for all the grassroots groups to be doing. I think we've all struggled with finding our way and figuring out what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But rather than trying to mollycoddle legislators that we think are on our side, we just really need to become watchdogs and, you know, just really take that bone and don't let go of it until we have ferreted out everything that they're after, and we make sure that we're paying attention, that we're engaged, and that we're not going to let them just rule over us and just roll over the top of us. And so many of the grassroots groups are looking to find ways to befriend legislators, and that is not our job. Our job
is to hold their
feet to the fire and make them do what they said they were going to do. And if they don't, then our job is to make sure they get fired. And if the next person that we try to get elected doesn't do it, then we fire them too.
Okay, let's talk about that for a minute. Cindy, that's something I've been wanting to bring up for quite a while, and I hope that we discuss it a lot, because the Missouri Grassroots Coalition was formed to be a networking organization for grassroots groups. This is a place for grassroots to go to express their opinion without the influence of legislators, without the influence of lobbyists, for us to be heard and to make our voices strong. Something that has happened, I think, in the Tea Party movement, and this is so important, is that the Tea Party has been infiltrated by the establishment Republican machine. And they've done it by coddling up, just as you have said, coddling up to these groups, befriending them, chumming up to them, making them feel like, you know, there's this relationship. And once someone gets elected to the House or the Senate, they are no longer your friend. They are your employee. And there should be no relationship there where they feel like they can buddy up to you or you to them. They should be there to serve you. And if you don't have the attitude toward them that you're in charge, they're going to steamroll right over you. And Cindy, you and I, and Gretchen as well, have been in situations where we have had those conversations with legislators, have we not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, we have. Yes, we have.
And that is... Go ahead.
It's a really dangerous precedent to allow to continue. And I think that has been... I've been following politics for over 30 years and involved in certain things. And what I've seen is that there are a lot of good groups out there, but all of them have at some time created alliances with certain legislators because they would do the right thing some of the time. And that's not good enough. That has actually harmed us, and it has helped bring us to the point that we're at, and we can't do that anymore. We have to be, literally, we have to be watchdogs. The legislators... The elected become a group unto themselves, and we have to hold their feet to the fire. And if we don't, then we fail. And we can't be making the same backroom deals to get certain things that we particularly want to see done, sacrificing other aspects of the Constitution and what needs to happen. And that's what I've seen. And quite frankly, I'm going to be honest with you, Show Me Patriots, we fell into the same trap early on, and we've had to extract ourselves, and we've had to, you know, we're in the process of reorganizing because we really got it wrong. I'm going to be perfectly frank, perfectly honest, and upfront about that. We got it wrong.
Well,
and we have to regroup, and we have to go back in to do the job that we need to do, and that is being watchdogs over what the legislators are doing.
Sure, and it's kind of a retraining of the thought process, too, for a lot of the patriots, because
it is.
They've come to accept the premise that we can have part-time conservatives in office and it can be okay, that as long as we're together on, you know, 70% of the issues, that we're in good shape. And really, you know, it shouldn't be that hard to maintain a conservative agenda, you know, especially when you have a majority in the House and the Senate. There should be enough support for every single one of those people that hold a seat in Jefferson City to maintain a conservative agenda. And the conservative agenda is not that complicated.
No, and it doesn't seem like the conservative agenda has really happened this year or last year. And that's really astounding to me with the Republican majority that we have.
Absolutely, especially with education, Gretchen. I know you've been watching that forever. And Brian Hook was on earlier this week, and not only with education, but he was also making the same point about the budget. And the Republicans are spending like drunk sailors, and the budget has increased over 400% in the last, I don't know, 18 to 30 years, something crazy numbers. You know, and it's the Republicans driving the bus.
Yep,
and it's the Republicans, as far as the education goes. They're pushing the educational agenda, and I think all I would have to say to these conservatives that are supporting the agenda is this is the same agenda as Arne Duncan, Secretary of Education, and President Obama. And it really is the educational version of Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
And there is such a disconnect between people understanding about what they're doing in education and calling it conservative. It is not conservative. It is progressive. It is more and more federal control. It is not local control. It does not reduce federal control or spending. But yet, they just shut their eyes to it. It's rather astounding to me, actually, really.
Well, it is, and we've all of us have had this conversation, I know, many times, that there's no difference anymore between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. And the Republican Party has catered to big money and big business. They've bought the votes from the big time donors to get reelected, and the Democratic Party has catered to the entitlement culture. And they bought their votes so that they can get elected to their seats. And the middle ground people and the constitutionally minded people are the ones who are footing the bill. And we're the ones who are left holding the bag. And none of our agendas,
right.
Yeah, none of our agendas are going through. We don't have anybody sitting in an office who's got that statesman mentality, who's looking at the bigger picture, who's trying to follow the Constitution, who's trying to make smaller government, who's trying to secure liberty and freedom.
You know, at the end of the day, Lisa, what you just said is so true, and what we come up with is there is still no one really representing middle America. The average hardworking American citizen who is out there doing, you know, working their job, paying their taxes, raising their families, trying to do the right thing, who cares about this country, cares about us succeeding, cares about creating jobs, businesses, you know, small business people want to create jobs. They want to grow. That would be just one example. And then we have, you know, like Gretchen brought up, education is, it's a boondoggle, and it's being taken advantage of by both sides of the aisle, who have now suddenly, I'm expecting nuptials any day between the Republicans and the Democrats on education. They're selling the American people a bill of goods, and they're disguising it as choice. And there is no choice, because we're locked into the same socialist agenda to control education that we've been looking at for decades and decades. And and if we lose education, we lose the fight.
Well, it's even worse than just a socialist agenda. It's the data system. It's the tracking. You have to, you know, the Common Core, as I've always contended, for the last 3 years, Common Core is the vehicle to get the data system through. And when you get the data system through and you start tracking kids, you start from really birth up through the workforce, and that's what this is all about. And it's not about it. It's not even really about education.
Well, it's about control.
It's about control, absolutely. And I think the agenda, I think that's really secondary. I've come to think that that might be the set. They don't really care what the kids are learning. They want to be able to track and control the kids. And it's you know, if you just take 30 minutes and you just Google longitudinal data system, Department of Education, you can find it on their website. The intent is to track children and for the workforce to be able to identify the workers that they will want in those jobs.
Right, for the big businesses to manage.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Gretchen, that if they can control, if the goal is not to educate the children, the goal is control.
Right.
And by not educating the children, they set up perpetual crises in our school systems that they then take advantage of to create a new solution that then drives that agenda home, and they gain more and more control each time they do that.
Well, like No Child Left Behind, if you look at it, on its face, it sounds, it's very grand, and we want all children to succeed. Well, we all know life, you know, there's going to be 20% of kids that really don't do very well in school. That's just the fact, and it may be because they don't have the intellectual capacity. They don't have the emotional wherewithal to do it. They don't have parental support, whatever. All the forces don't come together for that particular kid for some reason. That's unfortunate. You will try to help children, and you try to help children to reach their maximum potential. But what one child's maximum potential is may be much lower than another child's. And so you cannot say that every child is going to reach a certain plateau, because not all children and not all people are the same. So you have now created a system with No Child Left Behind and now with Race to the Top, that sort of thing, that will, and it's inherently meant to be a failure. Teachers will fail, and they will be graded down, or they and that's a whole other issue. But I have real problems with, do I want to hold teachers accountable? Yes. But how do I want to hold teachers accountable? If I have a teacher that has a classroom of low-performing children that just do not have the intellectual capacity to be at a certain level, that teacher should not be graded down. That's unfair. That teacher will fail.
Let's take a quick break at this point and then come back, and let's pick it up with the charter school expansion bill. Let's talk about that. And we'll talk about some other bills as well. Constraining bills out of a Republican House and Senate. Last couple of years, we've seen a lot of these kinds of things, and we'll just continue the discussion after the break.
Are you aware of the increasing attack on your personal property rights and constitutional liberties? The UN is working to implement international law and global control and will be meeting again in June to discuss how this plan could be advanced even further. If you cherish your liberties, then join us at the Farmington City Hall on May 22nd at 6 p.m. for a community forum about Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. Come hear more on how this plan is already being implemented in our local and state governments. Paid for by John Robinson for state representative.
Missouri Patriots, I don't have to remind you that our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape government in the interests of the people. And yet, in most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level, and it's time to send a message to Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City and tell them we have had enough. If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general election, and bring a friend. The Constitutional Republic depends on it.
So dear, for peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
And we're back. Welcome back. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. You've got your Friday evening roundtable. We've got Cindy McGee of Show Me Patriots, Dave Court, Missouri Grassroots Coalition, Caroline Miller, St. Louis grassroots activist, and Gretchen Logue from Missouri Education Watchdog. We had a very active discussion about education and the differences or non-differences between Republicans and Democrats. And during the break, we were kind of talking amongst ourselves. There's some question, and we're not really clear on the entire bill, but we've been kind of surfing Facebook today, and Caroline had some question about NDAA, and maybe you and Dave can kind of bring that out, and maybe we can clarify some of those issues.
Well, Justin Amash, he's a Republican, Tea Party-backed representative. He and Adam Smith, who's a Democrat, sponsored this amendment.
What is the NDAA? What's the bill?
Oh shoot, what does it stand for? It's the National Defense. Gosh, I forgot what the AA part stands for. But it was part of, a defense bill. But in that, it contained the power of, the government to indefinitely detain citizens without...
I remember.
National Defense Appropriations Act.
Right.
Right.
Yes, Appropriations Act, and to use the military to do it even.
Right, right.
Right.
And I'm looking at Justin Amash's Facebook page, and he basically, he said, the Republican-controlled House rejected an amendment by Reps Adam Smith, a Democrat, and Justin Amash, a Republican, that would have barred indefinite detention and rolled back mandatory military custody. The vote was 238 to 182. Then he's quoted as saying, the frightening thing here is that the government is claiming the power under the Afghanistan authorization for use of military force as a justification for entering American homes to grab people, indefinitely detain them, and not give them a charge or trial, Amish said during hours of House debate. But the thing that I don't understand is I was looking at the vote on the amendment, and Justin Amash... looks like he voted against his own amendment. So I don't know if there's a reason why he would have done that. Because the co-sponsor, Adam Smith, voted, yes for the amendment, but Justin voted no. So I'm really confused.
Well, I'm kind of confused as to why any conservative, so-called conservative Republicans, would be putting this on the floor in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first question I have. You know, you can amend yourself till the cows come home, but
right.
My gosh.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So where's all, you know, again, where is the Republican conservative freedom loving freedom preserving legislature?
Right.
Well, they don't exist. They don't exist, which is why we have to start at the state and local level. I mean, they don't exist, and they are not going to exist at the national level until such time as we change the entire structure from the state up. Because
amen.
What happens is these guys, I mean, it is just so much politics. These guys come out with these great ideas. They throw these amendments out there. McConnell over in the Senate gets a little bad-mouthing from Reid, so he comes over to Boehner in the House and says, hey, listen, buddy, you know, we've got to do something about this. You've got a couple of hobbits down here that are causing trouble in the hobbit hole. Boehner goes into a bunch of offices and starts twisting people's arms, and then it's all over.
Right. Yeah, it looks like the only two Republicans that voted for it were Walter B. Jones from North Carolina and Ron Paul. Those are the only two Republicans that voted yes.
That tells you a lot.
That voted for the amendment.
That voted yes for the amendment, basically to bar indefinite detention.
Okay.
Todd Akin
voted against it.
Billy Long, voted no.
They've been in Boehner's pocket since the day they got there.
Right. But what I don't understand is why Justin Amash also voted no. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, and I don't see the amendment you're talking about. But it's entirely possible that there was an amendment to the amendment, or that there was a House substitute to the amendment, and that kind of poisoned it.
Well, yeah, like a poison pill. Yeah, that could be.
Yes.
So.
I don't know. Yeah.
So, on a federal level, we don't have a whole lot of much. You know, we're just as confused as we are on the state level, and it's maybe a little bit too complicated and confusing for people to follow along with. You don't have immediate. Access to the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back to Missouri issues. We were having a very lively discussion on education before we took our break. And I did want to touch on the charter school expansion, because this is, for the last 10 years, there has been an agenda driven by Republicans in the legislature for education reform. And part of that education reform, I mean, it's a tangled web, and there are many components to it. It closely, almost completely mirrors the Race to the Top agenda. One of the components for educational reform in Missouri was charter school expansion, have charter schools expanded across the state outside the urban areas of Kansas City and St. Louis. Now, interestingly enough, with the overturning of the Tucker versus Clayton decision a few weeks ago by the Missouri Supreme Court, we are still kind of pushing this charter school expansion issue, which, you know, kind of confuses me a little bit. I don't understand it. If students do not have the right to just jump school boundaries and take money with them, as the Supreme Court rules, I fail to understand how charter school expansion is going to help improve education. Now, part of the problem with charter school expansion is so many people believe that charter schools are better or independent or on a different plane than public schools. Technically, they are maybe on a little bit different plane. They're structured a little bit differently. However, charter schools are going to be falling under the same mandates and the same Common Core curriculum guidelines. They're funded with the same state money. They're going to be taught, you know, with the same teachers are going to be teaching. Everything is pretty much going to be the same, except it's just going to be a charter school now instead of the old-fashioned public school. Is that right, Gretchen?
Well, they will be primarily, at least in the beginning, non-union. And I think that was a big reason charter schools were seen as...
But that's not going to last either.
No, it won't last. It'll last for a little while. But that's one of the arguments that charter proponents will say, is that we're non-union and we don't have to pay as much in teacher salaries, pensions, that sort of thing. We can use Teach for America graduate,
right.
Yeah, TFA. And so it for a fiscally conservative type person, they think, okay, we're going to be able to operate these schools for less amount of money, and we're going to be able to bust the teachers' unions.
Okay, and so...
That's what made them attractive to conservatives in the first place.
So
and it made it attractive because in the beginning, years and years before, they weren't under Common Core mandates.
Right.
Right.
So they're placing the blame on the teachers' unions for educational failure.
Right.
Basically. And it's a much more complicated soup. Yes, the teachers' unions played a huge part in the downfall of education, but because they've been like a parasite draining the funds. But they're not. It's not completely true. The bureaucracy has a lot of fingers, and they've poked so many holes in the balloon that, you know, it's not just the teachers' union that's deflated the whole establishment.
Right. I mean, if you think that the teacher unions are the main reason schools are failing, you're going to think charter schools. That's a great option.
Gretchen, the charter schools. I mean, there's data out there. Charter schools are not really performing that well.
No, they're not. They're not. And then you'll hear the argument. Well, we have to give them time.
Well, they've been around for a while. You know,
they have. They have, but that's. I'm just telling you what I hear on the street. Well, we have to give them time. And then the other thing is, I had a very interesting discussion on Facebook the other day, and people are desperate to get their children in a safe environment, and that seems to be overriding what people are worried about, what their children are learning. They don't really care about that, and I don't know why they don't care about that. If they've been leaving it up to the schools, or they're busy working, or they think they don't know enough on what a good education should look like, they're just concerned about the safety of their children.
Okay, let's take this discussion down that path, because that's something I've wanted to address for a while as well. Okay, we really need to retool the way we think about what public education is in this country. You know, we all want our children to be educated to their highest level, their highest ability, but we have turned public education from an educational institution into, in my opinion, a babysitter. And people are really very comfortable with turning over their kids to another entity for a good part of the day, for a good part of the year, and being hands-off with that. I mean, the culture accepts that.
And an entity that considers itself just another parent for your child.
Right. I mean, they've in many ways given up their parental of rights and their parental authority.
Well, I think you have parents that want that are happy to acquiesce their parental control to schools. And then on the other side, you have that if you do advocate for your child in the way that you want to advocate or what you think is best for your child, then you are pushed out by the administration.
Well, right. They want that control.
So, yes. So it's to me, it's like a two-headed beast. If your child fits in the box, your child's probably going to be okay. In a general, as far as safety and that kind of thing. But if you have a child that has needs outside of that box, for whatever reason, whether you're asking for more or whether you don't care and your kid just falls behind or whatever, you have problems with the public school.
Okay, ladies and Dave, on a much bigger picture plane, okay, I mean, Gretchen and I have had this conversation a million times, and Cindy too. Public education has become part of the governmental beast, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about educating kids.
Nope.
Okay, it's a cultural beast.
It's about controlling and directing the culture.
It
yeah.
is.
Thank
and
you.
And it was formed actually that way. I mean, we can go into the history of it, you know, at another time. But okay, to turn the beast around. Okay, I can tell you what I think about it, but what has to happen to the culture? What do we have to do as individuals? To me, public education is a socialist premise. I don't think the government has any business in any part of education. I don't think it should be collecting money from the taxpayers to fund it. I don't think it should be directing curriculum. I don't think it should be legislating anything about how education works. I mean, I've tried not to become one, but I have kind of become an educational anarchist. Now, if you say that to people, they look at you like you just stepped off the spaceship from Mars, because they are very comfortable putting their kid on the big yellow bus and then going about their day.
Lisa, don't you think we've been sold that if you want to achieve the American dream, you've got to let someone else take care of your children so that you can pursue multiple jobs and careers to earn all the money for all the goodies and let someone else raise your kids?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's part of the lie we've been sold. And, okay, when it comes to charter schools, we're being sold by both parties for different reasons. The Democrats, we agree, are entitlement. The Republicans do cater to the big money, Wall Street kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
And
big money does benefit from charter schools.
Well, but
they're running the charter schools.
Correct. Absolutely.
And they're funding.
And so the whole thing is that everybody's being sold with charter schools. Politicians, who are a whole different animal that just want to stay in office, maintain their control and their power, and continue to vote their perks. And forgive me for being so cynical, but I am cynical. And they're going to sell this false sense of choice with charter schools, which is no choice. As Gretchen pointed out, in Missouri and all states now, I think, you've got the Common Core standards. These charter schools are going to be under those same standards that the public schools are, so that in the end, you really don't have a choice. And parents, the kids are still going to be funneled through the same system that is going to destroy them. It's going to discourage their learning. It's going to discourage them from achieving excellence to become Americans who are entrepreneurs, who do forge new things in this country to make us grow and be all that we can be and be the great nation that we are. And that effort has been there to suppress that, because they have to control in order to achieve their nirvana socialist government. I mean, I hope I said that so that it was clear, but
yeah,
that's really what I've watched evolve. And Republicans, and it isn't anathema to me, I'm like, they talk about conservatism, they talk about choice as though it's a real choice, and they say the right things, and then they turn around and they're in bed with the enemy. And to me, the Republicans and Democrats have really become a two-headed beast.
Yeah.
They're all attached to the same body, just two different heads that give you the impression that you've got something different to choose from, and we don't.
Well, you know, and I think another part of that too, Cindy, is that I think that there is a belief among the larger culture that this is still really about education, and that your kids are there getting an education because all of those educrats are telling you, we are educating your kids. You know,
yep.
we're getting you a good product. You know, we're sending the service to your kids, and we care about your kids, and we're educating your kids. And there are a lot of people who really believe that this environment is educating their kids. And, you know, until you can kind of break the ice on that mindset where people begin to understand that their kids are really not being educated, you know,
right.
they're not being taught how to do the things. You know, kids that are graduating high school today cannot do the things that kids who were graduating high school 50 years ago could do.
You know, Lisa, I think one thing that we have to point out here is that this didn't just start in the last few years.
No, this has been a generational thing.
This has been a generational thing. We now have, arguably, I would say my husband and I, we're 50s, 60s. I think that we're the last generation that saw any real education. And since then, it has been geared more and more progressively towards indoctrination, not education.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been done on purpose. And, you know, so you're not just dealing with the current public education system, but we have to deal with parents who have been raised with the wrong view of what education, this government, this country, and life is all about, because they've all been indoctrinated. And there have been some of us, and Lisa, I know you're one of them. I was one of them 30 years ago that pulled my kids out of public school and started homeschooling because I understood that my kids were being indoctrinated, not educated. That
right.
was 30 years ago.
And
it started before then.
Right.
And so we've got a problem that is decades old. In fact, I would even go so far, and you alluded to this, Lisa, we'd have to go back to the turn of the century to really get to the roots of what's going on with education.
Right, absolutely. Okay, let's take another break, and when we come back, I think this is a great way to segue into another topic that I wanted to discuss tonight. Missouri Grassroots is all about organizing the grassroots and getting people engaged and involved, and this discussion on education and following the legislature. We've got a very important election coming up in 2012, and when we come back from the break, let's talk about how getting people engaged and involved and fired up to be active in the upcoming election is going to help turn things around.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
Are you aware of the increasing attack on your personal property rights and constitutional liberties? The UN is working to implement international law and global control and will be meeting again in June to discuss how this plan could be advanced even further. If you cherish your liberties, then join us at the Farmington City Hall on May 22nd at 6 p.m. for a community forum about Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. Come hear more on how this plan is already being implemented in our local and state governments. Paid for by John Robinson for State Representative.
The government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
We're back, Missouri Grassroots Radio, Friday Evening Roundtable with Gretchen Logue of Missouri Education Watchdog, Caroline Miller, a St. Louis activist, grassroots Tea Party person, Dave Court of Missouri Grassroots Coalition, and Cindy McGee of Show Me Patriots. Caroline,
yeah.
During the last discussion, you had done a little research online, and you had maybe an answer for that question we had talked about earlier about why there was a vote against the amendment on that NDAA.
Yeah, well, Justin Amish, who was one of the two main sponsors of the amendment to the NDAA, which would have basically barred indefinite detention, I was looking at the vote, and I was really shocked that he would have voted against his own amendment, and something clicked in my head, because I remember in the past Harry Reid has been known to do this, where he'll vote against his own amendment. So I was doing some research to see why you would vote against your own amendment. And basically what I found out is that if you cast a vote with the majority, that will enable you to revive the bill at a later date. So I would assume Justin Amish knew there was no way that the amendment was going to pass, so he decided to vote against his own amendment so that he could reintroduce the bill at a later date.
Which would answer
my take on it.
Yeah, that would answer the question, but it doesn't quite answer the question why we couldn't get any Republican support for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, well, except for Ron Paul and that Walter Jones, I think. Yeah.
Yes. So,
yeah, I know it.
We've got Blaine Lutemeyer, we've got Todd Akin, and all of these good conservative Republican congressmen. We need to be sending emails out tomorrow to find out why.
Well,
maybe
I remember reading, I forgot if it was in Fox News, but Justin Amish basically was saying I wish I could find the quote, but basically they were accusing him of being too terrorist friendly.
Oh.
So, you know, because, you know, this whole indefinite detention thing is done to protect us. You know, so yeah.
Maybe this is just an extension of the Patriot Act and
right.
The need to defend the fact that we did the wrong thing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but when it targets Americans, you know,
yeah.
Which the Patriot Act does too.
Right.
Now, the Patriot Act doesn't target any Americans, but it allows Americans to be monitored.
Correct.
This bill specifically targets Americans. Americans just kind of fall into the group in the Patriot Act, which was bad enough. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But this National Defense Authorization Act actually specifically states that American citizens can be indefinitely held by order of the President of the United States.
Right. You're right, Dave. And I think when I said that, it's like, yeah, the Patriot Act was bad enough, and you're right. We got sucked into it. Americans just kind of get assimilated into that. This is just the next step, I think, to just control. Again, it goes back to
absolutely.
Control.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, Jay Nixon's got nothing on the one person that ought to be the biggest embarrassment to Missouri in history is John Ashcroft.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, explain
yes,
that a little bit. Explain that a little bit, Dave.
Yes.
Explain that a little bit, Dave.
Do what a little bit?
Explain
that a little bit? Well, John Ashcroft was the Patriot Act. John Ashcroft was
mm-hmm.
the Attorney General, if you'll remember, who pushed the Patriot Act down our throats because he and his Department of Justice needed to protect us from these terrorists. And yes, they do need to protect us from these terrorists, but at what price liberty do they need to do it?
Right. All right. Well, let's segue into our last subject here. We're kind of running low on time, and I kind of want to touch on this a little bit before we have to go. Okay, we're headed into the elections. You know, we've seen over the past, you know, 4 to 5 years, we've seen a fabulous patriot uprising. The Tea Party kind of grew out of the 2008, a little bit before then, elections, and people started to wake up, and we kind of got we've got a swell of people thinking in a new way about freedom and the Constitution. You know, it's had its growing pains. It's kind of had its ups and its downs over the last couple of years, but, you know, things are reviving a little bit. How does that, you know, let's think about that, the past, the present, and the future. What role does the Tea Party play? How do these patriot organizations move forward to accomplish the goals that we want to accomplish? What are the specific goals that we want to accomplish? And how do we move past the patriot groups? How do I get my next-door neighbor who doesn't know the first thing about what I'm doing here tonight? You know, they're busy at the soccer game with their kids, or they're watching, you know, reruns of American Idol. How do you start to widen that circle or cast a wider net to make the difference in as soon as November of this year? Crickets. Anybody want to jump in?
Wow.
So too much for the last 10 minutes of the show?
Well, that,
one
I
of
mean,
the things.
The, go ahead.
Go ahead, Dave.
The bottom line, Lisa, is that that the 90% job of patriot groups is education. I mean, we have property rights groups forming because people have no idea what property and property ownership means to liberty. We have fair tax groups forming because we have a population that has no idea what the current income tax structure implies to liberty. So, I mean, our 90% job is education, and that's going to be a long, hard slog.
Yeah, I would agree. Caroline,
yeah,
you've spent a great deal of time over the last couple of years, and you have educated and informed a great number of people across the state just by watching the headlines, spreading the word. You know, you've got a great email network going and that's pretty much primarily how you communicate, a little bit through Facebook. So what do you think?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
How are we going to continue? I mean, how are we going to continue to kind of cast a wider net with this kind of education on these issues? You know, I mean, there's a few of us who are really working hard,
right.
And you are one of the primary people doing that. You know, we're kind of getting tired. We need to maintain
right.
Because we can't turn away from it. It'll all go back.
I know I myself have really gotten burnt out lately. I had to, you know, the last few weeks I've just had to take a break because I really felt like it was affecting my health, you know, because I just felt like under a constant state of stress all the time, worrying about all this stuff. And I keep thinking, when are the rest of the American citizens going to wake up? And it is frustrating that, like, even with the email thread or with Facebook, I feel like we all have the same 400 to 500 friends, and we can't get beyond that. You know, it's like, how do we reach other people? I don't really know.
Are people not feeling enough pain?
Yeah, see, I almost have to wonder if we have to hit absolute rock bottom to wake people up, but by that time it'll be too late. So I don't know.
Yeah, Cindy, you and I have had that conversation.
Well, I think part of it, too, is, okay, Chuck and I, my husband and I, we have, and this has always been a focus of Show Me Patriots, is to reach out to the people around us and to be willing to talk over the back fence. And Chuck and I have decided that, and all of us as patriots, we have to make the decision that we cannot be as concerned about what our neighbors think of us as we are about telling the truth. And I do think part of it is that some people are not in enough pain, or they're managing the pain through whatever, taking on a second job, I don't know, whatever they're doing to cope with things as they're degenerating. And but I think there's going to reach a point where people are going to go, what did they say again? What was that? And they're going to revisit the things that we say and we tell them and we teach them. and, you know, and just in casual conversations, and we do that. Chuck and I do that. A lot of our neighbors, they're just in la-la land, and yet we do find ourselves, you know, we just started, I'll use an example, it's silly, but we started raising chickens. Well, we got all the neighbors' attention, and we're like, things are getting really bad, and the economy is not good, and we're very concerned about where things are going to go and what's going to happen, and so we're doing this to be prepared to feed ourselves, our family, and our neighbors if need be. And we have that conversation with our neighbors. Do they look at us a little bit askance? Yes, but at the same time, they're acknowledging, you know, you're right, the economy isn't good and things aren't good. And so you start to plant those seeds and you just let them germinate. All we can do at this point, I think we're still in that state. We're still planting. And who knows what we're going to reap when the harvest comes in. I don't know. I don't have that answer. I pray that it's enough, that people will wake up, that they will get engaged, that they'll get involved. You know, and we tell them, you've got to look at the election and the choices. We don't have a lot of good choices, not on the presidential level, but there is still a choice there, and we have to decide, what are we going to do? Do we... 4 more years of Obama is not a good thing. We're doomed. Romney is flip the coin, but we might buy some more time.
Okay,
and
so,
if we buy some more time, we move on. And you know, and we've got to get people to realize that.
Buying more time is no good.
So you know, we have to, but we can't waste that time either. We have to be educating every step of the way. I cannot agree with Dave more. Our primary focus as grassroots group is education. It's not getting in bed with a politician to get them elected. It's education.
And if I can interject here for just 1 minute, this is why, in my opinion, groups like Missouri Grassroots Coalition are important. Because no group, no one group can track everything. Gretchen is great on education, but Gretchen can't keep up with everything that's going on with Agenda 21. And we need groups out there. That's why I say property rights groups, tax groups, 9/11 groups. And then we need a place where these groups can get together and share information and get a coordinated action to get things going in the right direction.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, well, that brings us to a very good place to end. We just have a couple of minutes left. Just real quickly, I'm going to go down the line. Is anybody working on a campaign this year? Have you picked one yet, Gretchen?
Nope.
Are you thinking about picking one?
Nope.
Caroline?
If I do, it'll be for Bill Randles, for governor.
Dave?
I am working on one, yes.
Cindy?
Yes, I'm working on a couple.
Okay. All right. I guess that's a good first step. And Missouri Grassroots Coalition hopes to be an effective catalyst in doing just exactly what we discussed here tonight. We hope to bring patriots and patriot groups together to be a centralized communication place, to provide support and relief for each other and information and education. So if you have not joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet, go to the website and log in and join so that you can get updates. Enjoy the blog posts there. We have forums which we need to start those, Dave. I don't think we have them active enough to get rolling. Gretchen and I are going to go to the education forum and start forums there very soon. And get those updates. Look for us on Facebook. Look for us on Twitter. And join us again next week. Monday night, Dave stretches the truth in the hour of truth. Tuesday, Vaughn is a show of common sense. I'm here on Wednesday nights for Culture Vigilante Hour. And Dave stretches the truth again on Thursday nights with Hour of Truth. And Friday nights are our roundtables. We'll see you next week.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition.
a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.
You guys love us. Can you hear me? Are we off?
Hello?
Caroline.
Yeah, Lisa, you still there?
Yes, I am. I'm gonna put you on the bubble. Hold on. There, can you hear me, Caroline? Nope. I think we're off the air, but thanks for jumping on at the last minute. I really appreciate you doing this.